Welcome to the policy committee. Meeting is now open. I'll move the apology of Councillor Deacon to the seconder. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Agenda remains the same. Any conflicts of interest? The minutes have been circulated for adoption. Somebody care to move those as a true and accurate record? Councillor Hope. Seconders? Councillor Neal. Any matters arising? No. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. On to the agenda items. We have first up, first up we have the plan change 1D flow requirements for river tanks. So that paper there is in front of you with some of the reasoning why a recommendation is to proceed with the formal part of consultation for Plan Change 1D, but open for discussion amongst council. Anybody want to comment on that? Council Laws?
I didn't go to the last council meeting, so my apologies for that. So you must have done something at that council meeting for this to be here now, is that right?
We had a workshop.
We have had this come before,
And then the council asked us, as a result of that workshop, to bring it back as a paper for the formal consultation.
The press, but right back in time, there was a decision to put and leave the report on the table.
That's right,
yes.
So then we had a workshop around it, and now there's a report to move on from that.
This is obviously going to be confusing for the community, you know, and the plan change out there again. You got the feedback from the last one. Is there a better way of communicating this in concert with the minimum flow? I know that you've made the distinction in the paper, but it seems obviously that minimum flows and residual flows and the water plan and everything still fits together as an integrated whole. Like the section of the detailed parts is the same thing. And I think where people were getting confused, including me initially, I imagine I can't be the only one, is at what they were, as we've got now spelling out a nice plain 12-year-old language between these things. But of course. But we're still going to have that trouble out there. Is there a way of integrating our communication strategy so that we can say, well, it's sort of all part of the same thing? Because if we consult individually on this, I fear that we'll run into the support causes or creating the same confusion that was out there beforehand.
Oh, that's a complex question. Yeah, whether it merges in with minimum flows as well.
Could it sit in there as a collective? In the sense that on one hand we've got on some catchments we are putting minimum flows on the catchments where there are multiple consents being taken off the main stem of those catchments. Then there are a lot of catchments which have very few takes, or there are places not on the main stem of the catchments but at smaller minor tributaries away from where they're minimum flow size is, we're putting a constraint on how much water you have to leave behind when you're taking is a more appropriate way to do it. And so that's what this is doing. So yes, we will have a list of catchment mains that we work on minimum flows in. And this one sort of sits across all of those in the tributaries and in the minor rivers that we haven't put minimum flows on. And so it's a piece of work that all links buttons together, and I think we can make probably references when we're doing one to the other so that people can understand where they fit in.
Is there going to be a map with rivers on them? Nice little colour codes and things like that, not being stupid, but a visual, because I'm sorry, that's how I learned,
yep.
And I'd like to see it, thank you much. Yep.
We can certainly put, let's just say for the sake of scale, a target on a sheet of A4, and
yep.
We'll be fine. Because nobody's going to try and use that map saying, you've put out this map and you're now trying to put a minimum flow on map, and your map shows that I would have a residual flow. So we can indicate roughly where the minimum flows will work, and the consequences of the rest of it would be covered by residual flow. We can do that as one of the support images of the consultation stuff.
Did that answer your question?
I mean, it's a complex communication strategy, and I just think that visuals, particularly for us males, is just essential.
Yeah. But I think also the point you're raising is that we can, when we're doing the catchment minimum flow work, have a 3-minute conversation about where this fits in with the residual flow work. Just so that we're not leaving it as a big unstated question.
Yeah, I'm conscious that hasn't probably fully answered the question, but maybe as we discuss it, we can come back to it again.
Yes.
Councillor Hyde.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I ask you, if we look at number 4, that's the crunch point, isn't it? Of the surface water type permit from Tauri, I guess that 280 of the of these 400 deemed permits, which the board expire, of the 400 deemed permits, 56 in the main team and 334 in the tributary. That's the trump bit, isn't it? That's the bit we have to sort out. Is that right?
That's right. The key is that we haven't processed a lot of residual flow, requiring a residual flow condition, because the majority of them are mining privileges that are still sitting as a mining privilege with no environmental consideration. And so, and for the few that we have administered and put a residual flow condition on, we have had some extra cost incurred around arguing and what does this mean and how does that work, because the wording isn't particularly clear in the water plan. So what we're trying to do is, before we hit 300 odd, we tidy up the uncertainty that we've got from the experience that we've got today administering the plan.
Are you able to give me an example of one that you could name off the top of your head where you had to do exactly that, and maybe you had to tweak it but you've got it right in the territories? Can you name one, give us an example?
For a residual flow.
Yes, in the tributary, exactly what you're talking about here. You know, that if you like, it's come through and managed to get it through with a bit of tweaking.
I can't quickly.
Generally, they have been quite involved.
Yes.
Yeah, with a lot of affected parties and narrow in their approaches. This is outlining at the moment in what we actually can take into account. So the process going forward that this is thinking about is a lot broader, involving social and economic factors, whereas currently it's natural character and ecological something.
In-stream
type values anyway. It's quite a different scenario perhaps that's
in fact,
when
you say social and economic factors, are we talking about that
there's
actually enough water?
Mm.
Yes.
Considering somebody might be downstream that might want some water.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Yep.
The current plan, you don't take any consideration into whether somebody downstream.
So if this is tributary, you've got to, is
that right? No, at the moment you don't.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is say, if you are in a tributary, you need to have a think about who else is around.
So if you're at the top and I'm at the bottom, you've got to sort of consciously what comes about me, that I'm going to have water here?
Yeah.
There should be some
concern. That requires the social and economic aspect, because you can't take it all for yourself.
Yeah. No.
If you're downstream and I arrive and you've got your consent to take and I arrive later and I apply for some water, but the way the plan's written at the moment, I don't even consider you down there.
And you may in a group iron out amongst yourself, okay, historically I've had priority one, but I'm down the bottom of the catchment, you know how it works that way sometimes, and the person up the top's got priority five, and you want to deliver to the person down below, but at the way it works at the moment, all you're considering is in-stream value, so the person up the top can take as much as they want, as long as they've got a maintaining their in-stream value, not delivering to that person down the bottom. So that's one issue, and it's a real issue. I think, well, my feeling is it's fair to go out to the community and get feedback on those types of issues, and also the fact that they have been very elongated processes in the past often. If there was some surety around the types of methods for defining what their flow should be, it may help people.
So just for my clarification, did I get that through you, Madam Chair? I'm aware of one tributary that has a consent and they have to deliver 20 litres per second out into the mainstream. They have 80 litres per second coming down from their hydrology reports down through the stream. One farmer has 40 at the top and the other farmer has 20, which is 60. If another farmer, they told me, said that up above has done some agricultural work and wants water, the guy with 40 might give him 20 and the other fellow might give him 10, but they'll still have that 20 litres per second going down, and that's that community aspect that you were talking about, which is part of their, well, I don't know whether that's part of the consent process or just part of their community relationship, but that's how they tell me it works.
Yeah, that's right. So it can work well as a community agreement, can't it? It's just that if you haven't got agreement in the community and you've come to a consent process to sort it out, it can be tricky.
Because I guess my biggest fear that I have with 1D is that the irrigators are going to wait for some time to see what the outcome of that is, and as you see in that last paragraph there, it could take up to 18 months, and I just wondering just the effect that all this is going to stall on the demand for the permit the deemed permit consents being granted by 2021.
No need for it to stall it. If you would like to get together and have agreement amongst yourselves, that's fantastic, and you've got affected parties involved as well, then it's great to get on with that right now, and you may be well be able to iron that out yourself. A lot of examples where they can do that.
Salvian's gone through already, and it's up and running. Luggett Creek is, there's a collective group there working together that they're working with, and dare I say it, Tyburn again is a group that have got together as applicants and sorted out and rounded off all of that stuff to make sure that multiple takes, multiple use sites, etc., can be consented and managed, so that you don't end up with the lead of the manor taking the lion's share of it.
So the plan change is about it creates a strong incentive to group up. But in the meantime, anybody who wants to group up, it just doesn't make sense, can do so. That's what we're saying.
Essentially, we're seeing a lot of advantage in grouping up, but it is not compulsory, and we are not consenting so that you have to group up. But if you choose to group up, we certainly are able to lead more of the day-to-day management, shall I say, of the multiple takes to the group, because they will operate with inside a box that we will describe, and the difference between individuals inside that box we don't care about. But if they don't group up, then we've got to make sure that the individuals can work their consents together, and we end up getting in that box basically.
If one taker
comes along after 1D, assuming that it happens, then in some respects the outcome will take into account the fact that they haven't grouped up, but there are others who need to be taken into account. Right, thank you.
Councillor Scott and then Councillor Whitehead.
Yeah, I mean, to borrow Councillor Kempson's one of his expressions about kick the can down the street, we've got to front up to this issue. It seemed to me last time we discussed it, we sort of kicked the can down the street and here we are all looking at each other again. It seemed to me that one of the fundamental issues, or one of the discussion points that came out last time was, hey, we're okay, Jack. We've got our mining privileges. We've got our arrangements. Why is the ORC sticking its nose in when it's already got a water plan and minimum
Correct.
Flows? Just leave us alone. We're all right, Jack.
Correct.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's what's going on.
Things are changing whether we like it or not. And the mining privileges are, and the arrangements and the relationships are all coming to an end 2021. And we've got this consenting regime. And we've got things like minimum flows and environmental expectations, social expectations, all these types of things. So it's not, you know, is change going to occur? Change is occurring, and the vital thing is that we set up a mechanism that is fair, reasonable and transparent. And the sooner we get on with that, the better. Okay, here we are saying, for 18 months, if we don't front up to this, it's going to be another shadow for tens of years, you know. And in it, this we've asked questions and the report has given us all the answers, you know, things like the changes are needed in time for deep permit replacement of group applications, the residual flow parts of the plan to be more transparent and certain. We have no intention to review permits that already have a residual flow condition. You know, it's all here in black and white. So we might think we can hide under the desk on this matter, but change is upon us, and we need to do our bit. And yeah, let's be honest, the irrigators are sitting in their corner fighting their patch, but change is going to happen, and that's the law.
All right, so there was a bit of confusion and a bit of community fuss with the first time we went out with this. I don't believe our communications and explanation around it was quite clear enough. But this paper, as Councillor Scott's just said, made that quite clear. There's a number of issues. It took us a while, even around this table, to get a head around that. We're not going to review existing residual flows as part of this planters obviously, and there's no actual reason to delay if you're getting close to filing your application, but it will, once we get to the end point, assist with the process moving through. And the other one that was an issue that staff indicated is the point at which you would have the residual flow, because in some cases the point it takes not actually in the place that you would need. Or it might be able to be amalgamated up into three or four. Anyway, to assist discussion, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the recommendation that we resolve to proceed with Plan Change 1D, flow requirements for river takes. And staff and Michelle have heard the comments around being clear with our message and communication. The other thing, and we've already adapted our processes or the way we're communicating on some of this, is to ensure there's somewhere a formal presentation so it's outlined the issues and what we're intending to achieve, so that the drop-in sessions are fine, but there needs to be at the opening part of it, or somewhere to go within a drop-in session, a video to watch, which gives that clear explanation, which sets the framework. Otherwise, staff end up in the position of answering one-off questions from 30 individual landholders. I'm happy to move that recommendation.
Seconder? Councillor Scott? Councillor Hope, you were going to speak.
Thank you, Chair. I was just going to say, to be lost with a lot of thought and the way we practically got the, well, we got 400 D permits, 334 tributaries, so that's what we need. Have another day. Perhaps maybe it's not a joke, maybe it's elephant. Could we say that, I don't know if you can do this, but you can talk about selling and go to church, go to tributaries in a people. Could we not use some sort of team showing so that when these people come along, be quite clear that what we're trying to achieve. I mean, this is very good information here. There's no reason why they can't hear that. So before they come, they know they're not fired up to this for last time, and it's a different environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah. I think workshop last time we were quite clear as well that if we move into a formal consultation, we need to have some really good pre-consultation type work, like you said, so that the workshop essentially is transferred into the community too with a lot of good information and chance to discuss it together. So I hear entirely what you're saying. Yep. Council of all.
Well, I mean, I'm prepared to back that motion provided that there's an ancillary motion which is related to a communication strategy, because I think they're interconnected in such a way in this particular issue that, and so what I'd like to see is a motion that says that the communication strategy or draft communication strategy to explain plan 1D be provided to the next meeting of council, so that if you pass this motion today, that the staff then go, right, okay, we know we're going, this is now our communication strategy, to get some input from council. But I also think we'll answer your question too, Carmen. The other thing is, on that, where there was so much confusion last time was because we were talking in generalities and not in specifics about how, what exactly is going to happen to me. And that's where the uncertainty arose. That's where the anxiety became manifest. Was, I know it's going to change it, but I don't know how. And that's what you heard coming back. And I think we need to do a bit more in that area of specificity, so that they know exactly the kind of changes that are envisaged and how that they will be affected. And I see the communication strategy as being the enabler for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, thanks very much for that. And I think, yeah, again, you mentioned before visuals, but okay, this is a stream and this is how it would work, and these are the issues,
that sort of thing,
yeah. As well as presentation. But the recommendation at the moment is resolved to proceed with Plan Change 1D, which is actually going into a pretty much formal process from here. So, Fraser, how would you see Council of Law's communication type plan prior to that?
Well, I'm just wondering if the Director of Communications wasn't instructed, essentially, to prepare a communication strategy.
Yeah. So, just what I've talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be presented to the next Council.
Well, I'm just wondering.
I'm
just wondering if there's an instruction to do that, and we just get on with it.
Yeah.
Or does it
require
approval?
Because
it's essentially a management task.
Yeah.
To get on and do the job.
But I just think that if we leave you to get on with the job and don't give you feedback, then we're sort of defeating the process. Particularly are those of us, you know, like Graham and others who live in that area. It's just, here it goes, this is the questions we get asked, we can tell you. Now, you probably need to do a bit more on that. We're not interfering with the policy decision at all. We're just suggesting, here is a frame for relatively dim individuals like ourselves to be able to understand, so the rest of the community must get it.
So then is it appropriate then that it is circulated for feedback? Rather than, is it the sort of thing that you would expect as governors to have to approve formally in the organisation,
well,
or is it something as a governor you would like to have some input to?
I think a bit of both, actually. Could I give you the analogy? The most appropriate analogy is the long-term council community plan or the annual plan. The consultation document comes to the council for formal approval and often into some sort of feedback and guidance.
Oh, yeah.
You're really using the same principle.
I suppose the reason I'm pushing it back is, does this then become the norm for all plan changes?
Well, I think this one we've had a little bit not unusual, but we've had a lot of discussion amongst ourselves and feedback from community, and I don't think it would be very onerous for us to come for the next council meeting with some sort of plan of how we are going to do some engagement and education of the community about what this plan change is before we then go into a really formal process. So does that sound okay to everybody?
Yeah. It has to happen.
So what about
it has to happen.
Peter, does that sound okay?
Are we talking council or are we talking committees? Because council's in a 2 weeks' time.
Would that be too close?
Well, I'm asking the director.
If you want to see it in 2 weeks, it can be done in 2 weeks. I think the better thing, frankly, through you, Madam Chair, is that if a framework is circulated with an outline of proposed activities rather than have it nutted down to the detail
of this message.
An indication of the audiences, the broad scale messages, the various channels that we would use. I'm perfectly relaxed to take feedback from the people living in the community saying, have you thought about this? I also fundamentally agree with Mr. McRae that the implementation of a communication strategy is a management issue at the direction of governance, but if it's your collective wish that it be presented you for adoption.
I just think it should be an adoption.
There is a motion that I have put forward that will go on that to answer that question, but I think the other issue here is that it would be of enormous use to us as governors to be able to understand the kind of information you're going to put out there so that we are your communicators too in that area. The second area is the media. Now, if you think that we're dim, dear Lord, you know, go and try your average journalist who's reporting 5 or 6 other stories that day and then has to pick up this one. So they have got no idea, so all they do is simply report reaction, because they actually don't know what's happening. And that goes for all the reporters and journalists living in Central Otago and the Lakes.
So we've got a mover and a seconder for an original recommendation at the moment, and we don't have a need one at this point.
I ask that motion get put.
Yep. Motion will be put then. Unless anyone's got any further discussion on that particular motion. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Righty-o, but I think
does that include the draft communication?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it doesn't. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. So
can I move that then formally?
We'll have it separately now then?
I know there's a very enthusiastic team that they have slipped. The draft communication strategy to explain plans one change to be provided to the next round of council meetings.
So moving that, sorry, Councillor Lord. Yep, do we have a second recommendation then?
Yeah, if it means that it's going to get something out to the community, I'll second that. I'm not too worried about the content, but the key is that we need to let them clearly know what the levels of expectation inside that 1D plan change, because that is where the confusion is at the moment. A lot of them probably don't know that the existing consent holders don't have to go through it. They all think they all have to go back through it again. There's a lot of that type of reaction. So we need to get that clear message out. And it's just a simple thing to me.
Okay, so you're seconding?
I was seconding, just to get the thing underway.
So what's the wording,
Councillor Laws, your motion.
Sure. The communication strategy to explain change 1D be provided to the next meeting. Well, the next round is council meeting.
Do you have any comment on that, or I'll put it?
I see no point in that. In the motion that the CE and the Director of Communications are quite clear.
Once it gets done, what
they want done, and particularly the stakeholder communications, she's willing right from the start. and obviously clearly its message.
I guess, Sam, the issue for me is, having only been around the council table a small time, is that I think this government, this executive team, is looking for us to make clear decisions so that they've got very clear expectations. And I think as a council, if we can set motions that get our executive absolute understanding of what is required of them, it just makes the process of decision making easier.
Okay, we've got a mover and a seconder. Everyone who wanted to speak on that, here's a speak. I'll put it. All in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Okay, the ayes have it. Brings that paper to a conclusion. Thank you. We have another agenda item, which is the director's report. This is quite a big report there as well. There's a number of important issues. Maybe we'll just kick off into it then. Councillor Kempton.
Just briefly, I noticed policy responses 1.1. Proposed regulations for charging to monitor permitted activities in the National Environmental Standards Plantation Forestry. And I wrote a question down beside it. Dairy inspections with a question mark, which was the one about saying, well, we're effectively doing an inspection around a permitted activity, you know, the issues around charging, variable charging for that, and we'll talk about that. And I wondered whether, in fact, this might open the way for that. And then I read down further, and there was, with the proposed NES plantation forestry regulations, it said, ORC remains concerned about the approach being taken in the NES plantation forestry, as it is based on managing risk rather than adverse environmental effects. Now, of course, one of the things that we're looking at in our dairy inspection regime is very much more a risk-based approach. So I was wondering whether that was consistent or whether there's something that I've missed along the way.
Woodhead, I know you've been involved along the way.
No, I can't really help. Mr. McRae might be able to.
First of all, the forestry proposed NPS is looking at saying, if you're doing the right thing, essentially working with the forestry code of practice, then you don't need to worry about water quality because you're doing the right thing. And water quality will obviously be okay. And that's not necessarily... No. And so that's our main concern with the forestry NPS. Part of it, and it is very directional, and you as a forester you need to have plans, and you register them with the council, and they will be managing and this, and they will be monitoring and all that. So we will be all over foresters, but it was a permitted activity of forest according to the NPS. And it was a way of recovering some costs.
The simple question was, do you see it in conflict with the way that we're working with risk-based assessment of properties and dairy inspections?
Not at all. No.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
Councillor Woodhead.
And that's one of the issues. Sorry for not attempting to ask you a question, Mr. Chair. And the comment that was made by Councillor Kempton around the charging for monitoring the permitted activities, which we've been pushing, and it's turned up in this, the plantation forestry. The Minister nodded furiously and said, yes, I've heard your message, but he's got it wrong in both the plantation and the forestry bit and the legislation.
The RMA
amendment. So we're no better off. And we're going to, and if this plantation forestry ends up the way it's looking, my understanding is, McRae, we're going to be rushing around assessing risks with forestry contractors.
Who will be doing land use capability mapping?
And as Mr. McRae has pointed out, what's the relationship between that and the actual environmental effects? So, I do have a question though on further down the agenda, 1.4, Madam Chair, when you get to that.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, so yep.
Yeah. So that's what I referred to earlier today with respect to the annual plan deliberations. And if you read the bottom paragraph of, or read all the 1.4, but actually, you know, the work around urban development capacity and the legislation to allow subdivisions and housing to proceed more quickly in a more streamlined manner than would normally be the case is allowing some gaps to appear in the process with respect to us and hazard management. And that certainly, I think it was one or two, one definitely submitted, turned up at the annual plan, was an example of that, and significant example where lessons learnt historically and agreements made were at the whims of a man sitting on a digger who had been given the big green light, and only a neighbour's phone call stopped that occurring. So it's just something I see we're going to write to QLDC, Mr. Bodecker. I think, you know, that letter needs to come at your level and understand that trying to ensure that those relationships and existing processes are maintained. I find it intriguing that in one respect the Minister has encoded with great hoopla and support after years of banging on his door hazards planning in the RMA, and at the same time, same Minister, build houses quickly and don't worry about anything in particular. Mm-hmm. And so, we just need to make sure we've got an eye on this one and we don't end up with areas with issues as a result of ignoring some hazard advice.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's not a white man in forked tongue.
Sorry?
It's white man in forked tongue.
Oh, yeah.
On one hand, they have elevated relating to natural hazards out of just a general matter to deal with.
Yes.
Made it a matter of national importance in Section 6.
Section 6 of the
Act. Section 6 of the Act. So it's right under Section 5. It's the purpose of being, it's in a block of things, matter of national importance, deal with natural hazards. It's created the special housing area legislation, which is about being able to create urban housing quickly, and you do not need to consider anything that is not assisting the development of housing.
Yeah.
So natural hazard considerations are not something you would worry about. It's about building houses, getting houses built, urban development more quickly. So the consideration around natural hazards as a matter is something that this council's been up against already in Queenstown. And effectively that we were there, I suppose, at the whim of the hearing commissioners, but we really had no status as such to be there under that piece of legislation that was being dealt with under the RMA as well, so we were able to sort of hang on with our fingertips. The government has then also moved on as creating urban development authorities, or it's creating enablement of that, and again they are organisations which will not have to consider any RMA considerations around housing. It's about building houses and building them quickly.
Yep.
And so again, ideas around planning, district plan, regional plan, are really not matters that they will be worried about. They will be more worried about the district plan, but essentially anything from the regional councils is not a matter for consideration in implementing that. So that's why I say, on one hand, they've sort of elevated the importance, as you're saying,
yep.
And on the other hand, they've torn down any reason to even consider it. Mm.
It shut us out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Lewis and Councillor Scott, but I'm wondering maybe if this is an issue for further workshop. You said we need to maintain strong lines of communications with our city and district councils, but I think we do need to understand more about the urban development realm and also how we can be more effective in assisting with what you're actually asking there, because it is a very significant issue, and I know that QLDC will be facing a lot of problems as well as a result of urban sprawl and lack of control from them as well. If we can work together on these types of issues, and it's not just QLDC as well, we need to be thinking about
all of the territorial authorities, yeah.
So, yeah, let's think about this more, but sorry, Councillor Laws and Councillor Scott.
No, well, I was just going to make the point about where to from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to say, I don't think you've got a show of, and if we employ that strategy of really having any market effect for change. This is an issue that you need to elevate to a national level. And if you keep on going district and local, you're going to fail. I mean, the reality why this legislation was brought in was to bypass exactly an organisation like this. You know, they considered the Otago Regional Council and a number of other territorial authorities, or particularly regional councils in their own way in which the RMA Act was being administered as an impediment to growth. So that's why they created these things.
The New York Regional Authority was effectively an impediment.
Yeah, they wanted to get managed. So the idea that, you know, and I think if you look at the pressure that's done in the Queenstown area, there's a great deal of sympathy for the government's moves in this area. You're honest about that too. I actually think that we have a responsibility as an Otago Regional Council to draw this attention nationally. And you can have that strategy of trying to work alongside your district authorities and hoping that they see sense, but you've actually got to say there's a problem here, and you've got to say it nationally. And I would urge us to write, to make representation to ministers and the Prime Minister on this matter. Now, you may think, oh, what's the point? He's not going to listen. Well, probably not. But the point is, you're on the record as having drawn this to his attention, of having made the correct representations in the correct place where you can be heard. It's also election year. Now, that's the other key here. I mean, how far are we away from election? 4 months? Yeah, 4 months from election. So, on this particular issue, I know that there is different policy in the other parties, and we would like to be drawing that to attention. We could be dealing with another government in 5 months' time. So, all I'm saying, Stephen, is, as chairman,
yep,
maybe it's time to elevate nationally now. You know, to say the Otago Regional Council has concerns, we're drawing them to attention, we've just had this example, here's a good example, off we go. That doesn't obviate working with Queenstown
and
Otago, but it does mean you are elevating your concerns to the level at which at least you can be heard, because at the moment you can't be, because we haven't given them that message.
Well, I hear what you're saying. Just wondering though, Councillor Woodhead, whether you feel the timing is right now and you've got a clear message of what you would write in a letter to the Minister, or whether we actually need to get together and have further think on that and understand greater from our staff what the issues actually are.
Oh, I think we understand the issues. Mr. McCray basically encapsulated
them.
We're all for building houses as quickly as we can, but they need to be, you know, due process needs to for some of these things. Mm-hmm. So, I think there's perhaps an opportunity to have a chat with LGNZ and our fellow regional councils, Mr. Bareka, whether there's other areas that this is issues pop up. And certainly in the first case we need to bring it to the attention of our TLAs, primarily QLDC.
It's a nationwide issue.
It is.
It affects all the TLAs.
Yeah.
Okay, Council Scott.
I want to talk about a separate topic.
Let's round this one off then. So there's certainly some strong feeling here. I think at this point, Stephen suggested raising it either regionally amongst RSG or similar. Also needing to get together and talk, maybe mayoral forum, whatever, with territorial. Yep. And I don't think, there was no real need then for a workshop to understand the issue. We understand the issue.
This is my opinion. I don't know. Mr. McCray, is there anything else you could say?
Well, without being too blunt about it, that some of the developments already happening around Queenstown and some of those areas is already ghetto development, in that there is roading design is such that it is almost substandard in width and stuff, so you've got people parking on berms and that sort of stuff.
Are you talking about shut over country?
Yeah. And they know about that, but they continue to allow the development to proceed.
It's going to get worse.
Just trying to get as many years as
exactly. And so it's a new type of equipment with all the consequences
small streets,
of the
narrow
but
streets,
equally they will,
no
the
paper.
Developments and the designs are not good urban design, because good urban design is not material in helping build houses quickly.
Projects.
Yeah,
right. That's the question, though, of whether we feel we understand what we need to understand about the new legislation with urban development and the pressures that's putting on in our region.
Yeah. Why shouldn't we communicate our concerns, good God, at least to the Regis members of Parliament?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that way you cover at least both sides of the House.
Mm-hmm. I mean, could I suggest that we write up a paper which may well be innocent to it. We've got Mirafor, we've got RSG, we've got our, and then we've got directly to the relevant MPs of all the different colours.
Well, that would be
most of it's written because it's in Francis report.
Right.
Can you pull? Yeah. So you can pull that together.
Use some of Dr. Palmer's details and stuff like that as well and bring into it.
Will that come to the full council meeting, Gretchen?
Oh, that yet?
Mr.
Wadeka?
We'll just see whether we can get it done in the fortnight, but we'll do our best. I won't promise that meeting. I guess it's not absolutely urgent.
Just put a deer in front of this letter.
These expanded out in the story told.
Right, thank you.
Look, just quickly, urban water quality, as you're aware, we've got a reference group, we had a meeting this morning, and on Friday we'll have a draft strategy document that's going to be circulated to all you councillors, plus councillors and territorial authorities as well, and staff, and they're going to digest all that, and then we're going to come together in mid-July with these groups and get their feedback. And just to make sure that all you people are up to speed, we're going to have a workshop on this in a fortnight's time, on the day of the next council meeting for over the year. Yeah. And so it is possible that somebody might ring you, like in a week's time, and you're going to say, well, you're shaking your head, don't they might do. And I say, what the hell is the story about this document? And you're going to say, well, we're going to have an update. You have had various updates already, but you'll have an update and be able to ask you questions on that document. And I emphasise it's draft, but it's at the principle level, the principles, which are all pretty robust in my view. And then ultimately, once we get that forum with the territorial authorities, there's still a number of key milestones. There'll be one final council workshop. It will come to committee for debate and approval if agreed, and then council. So we've got lots of cracks in. So if you get a phone call and you panic and say, well, you know, we're just in the process, yeah? And thank you, Fraser and your team. I think we're getting there, aren't we, Fraser?
It's been a good work by the group. Someone was collecting down the back there, yeah. Yep.
Oh, Darwin, too, then. I'm sorry. I didn't notice you there. Sorry. That's
yep,
right,
yep,
Bale and Suzanne and Fraser and
Sylvie,
who's not here. But you'll have your chance in a fortnight to ask all your questions. And as a matter of interest, it's water strategy that overarches the rural and the urban. But it's completely consistent with everything we've done with 6A. Yes, Fraser?
This is the urban piece of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be elevating it right up to
the
urban
tier.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Councillor Scott, and for your role.
Continually chairing
the group.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, it's a very well laid out, collaborative and comprehensive consultation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, any other matters there? We're getting on in time that people would like to discuss. The biodiversity group will meet on Friday again, reference group to discuss where to from here after our recent workshop as well. There's some initial actions there with our times at the moment, and we will be discussing those as well. Air strategy, that was really good to see, and the survey there as well appended, which provides some really useful information. Anyone want to talk on any of those matters? No?
Well, we're getting a bit late today.
Well, I think people have read it anyway.
Yep.
And
yeah. I wonder if it might be possible to bring that forward to workshop sometime. About the time that we're just saying, you know, so that we don't put that in the pigeonhole, but it comes forward again when we're actually workshopping the strategy.
We can find a time. Plan changes and consultation as well. We've got.
I'm a bit nervous, Madam Chair, about the, what was written here. Lower one.
That's why it used to piss me off.
Was the inference that it says because of the unique characters of the act will be actually draining to the ocean rather than the river, in virtue of the land of that blah 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 that we managed to treat and. What we're saying is that
as part of the mediation agreement getting 6A operative, we talked with the Waitaki community group, basically Waitaki Irrigation, around revisiting their area to see if we can work with them in managing land use and directly controlling groundwater quality, and so to try and avoid every other group saying we'll have one of those two please. That part of that discussion is that yes, it drains mostly to the coastal marine area, so there's no river estuary type impact. The area is virtually all irrigated by one irrigation company, and there are very few on the area that are not irrigating. The groundwater has about a 6-year life. It's moving underneath that aquifer or under that area that quickly. So if we get it wrong, we can probably go back and fix it quite quickly. But for most catchments, the groundwater residence time is a whole lot longer. And so what we've tried to do is to just paint a few dimensions around that area that say there's a reason why an alternative to 6A might work here. And that was the agreement that was struck. If we can't make it work, then the agreement is that we've tried, we failed, you've got 6A. So this was part of the agreement to get 6A up and running.
So, can I just ask, that those words, the command area be managed directly in relation to the aquifer limit, which is quantity limits you're talking about?
Yep.
Water volume quantity?
The plan change, assuming it goes through and it's successful,
yes,
we will say the water quality for the groundwater must be this.
Righto.
Or less than this.
Yep.
Now, if it gets above that, then they've got to do something serious about land use.
Yep.
So we're directly controlling their use against the groundwater quality.
Quality, yes.
As opposed to the rest of them. Yeah,
it just wasn't
clear.
All right.
Any other comments on Lower Waitaki?
I'm happy to move the recommendations.
Yeah.
Well, about the end. Can I just ask if you're going to do that
3.3, the 5C Menihirikia catchment. Can I ask a question with regards to the social impact assessment and culture impact assessment, economic assessment is to be commissioned in the third quarter of this year, and what I'd like that is to get that out in the press, in the public arena, because I'm getting hassled by people saying that we're not doing anything about it. You know, the Central Otago District Council having to do their own one, and it's quite clear in that statement that we are going to be doing it in the third quarter, and we will be going back to our community. When you will be going back to the Menihirikia community, it will be when the economic and social reports are available. So I'd like that message somehow to get out into that community, because there seems to be, this isn't necessarily irrigators. I was at a Rotary meeting the other night and I got, using the word, arseholes from my Rotarians about, you know, because CODC were doing one and where the hell are we, why aren't we, and everything else. So I had to field that. So they may believe me now that something is going to happen if that could be put out there, because they don't believe me. Well,
okay.
There was a misunderstanding.
You can put out a statement.
Well, yes, well, you do professionally all the time, Michael. Well, I've never ever done anything like that in my life in 20 odd years of local government.
Rightio. We have the recommendations. We all want to get home. But the report on home heating is received and the report is noted. Somebody care to move those? Councillor Scott did, Councillor Noon seconded, all in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you very much, and that brings our meeting to a conclusion. Thank you.